And as we continue our broadcast today from Colorado Public Radio in Denver, let's look at the polls here. Hillary Clinton is now leading Donald Trump by 8 points in a two-way race and by a little more than 7 points in a four-way race. That's according to Real Clear Politics. And those polls matter today because Coloradans got their ballots in the mail last week. They are already voting. This is the first presidential election in this state that will be all mail-in ballots. And joining us now for more on the race in Colorado is Ann Trujillo, anchor at Denver 7 News, an ABC affiliate. Hi, Ann.
Good morning.
And also joining us is Megan Verlee, reporter at Here and Now contributor Colorado Public Radio, our host. Hi, Megan.
Hey, Jeremy.
And, you know, we heard those poll numbers at the top, but both candidates have been in the state in the last month. Let's listen here to Donald Trump speaking at a rally in Colorado Springs.
I'd like to also start today by recognizing the incredible military contributions of Colorado Springs, a place I actually know very well. One of the most beautiful places, by the way. We have such amazing people working at Fort Carson, Peterson Air Force Base, the United States Space Command, NORAD.
So a lot of military voters there for him. But Megan, is Colorado still competitive?
Well, I think from those poll numbers you just read off, it doesn't look like it is. But Colorado has quite a purple history. And I know when you talk to Trump supporters, they're very hopeful that those numbers are not reflective of what we're going to actually see on Election Day.
Hillary Clinton was also in Colorado this month speaking in Pueblo. Here's a little bit from that.
I was thinking the first time I came to this beautiful place and had a chance to meet people from here was in 1992. I was here for somebody else, namely my husband, who was running for president.
And by the way, Bill Clinton did win Colorado in 1992. But both Clinton and Trump lost their primaries here. And how strong are these campaigns right now? Or what's your sense of the race coming up on the election?
I think more than anything, Colorado is just a very independent state. And I think we're full of independence, and I don't mean technically independence, but we're one-third Democrat, one-third Republican, one-third independent. People are still registering to vote, and we are still seeing people out there pushing to register those who are unregistered. So I think Colorado's really a wild card. And so it's just fun to watch all the traffic coming in and out of Colorado because you just never know what you're going to get.
And you think those independent-minded voters, it seems, are leaning toward Hillary Clinton in these last few weeks before the election day.
Or so it seems. I mean, we've gotten some traction, I think, with Gary Johnson as well here in Colorado. So, but yes, I mean, based on the polls, you would think Hillary Clinton. But we've seen Trump and his surrogates in here multiple times, I think many more times than we have at least Hillary Clinton and some of her stronger surrogates.
Megan, on the Republican side, a lot of the party leaders in this state are not endorsing Trump, or if they are endorsing Trump, they're doing it in a very tepid kind of way. What is the Trump effect likely to be on down ballot races? You've got a Senate race here where it looks like the Democrat, the incumbent, is kind of running away with it.
That certainly seems like what's happening. That's a very interesting race. The Republican candidate came out of kind of the Tea Party base of the party, and as far as we can tell, really has not done a lot to expand his appeal beyond it. He's mostly been appealing to Republican audiences, mostly going to Republican events. And so, yes, Michael Bennet, our incumbent Democrat, who was thought at the beginning of all this to be vulnerable, does not seem to be now. And Daryl Glenn, I think the Republican in that race, has hurt himself because he's been very unclear where he stands with Donald Trump. He embraced him early on, introduced him in Colorado Springs at one of those events. But then after the hot mic tape came out, Daryl Glenn said, can't vote for him, renouncing him. A couple of days later, I think even maybe just a day later after the strong debate performance, said, well, you know, I think maybe he's asked for forgiveness. I could come around. I want to meet with him, see if he can win me back over. Trump has not made the time to meet with Daryl Glenn, but Glenn is back supporting him. And I have heard from Trump supporters who are angry at him about this and Trump opponents who are angry at him about this. So that could really hurt him. I think the other race, just quickly, where this will be a big factor is we have a very, very competitive congressional race in a district that's heavily Latino, heavily immigrant. A Republican has managed to hold on there, Mike Kaufman, for a couple cycles now, but he's rejected Trump and he's going to lose a chunk of his base because of that. Now, whether rejecting Trump will earn him enough of the independent middle of the road vote to hold on is a giant question.
This is the sixth congressional district you're talking about, and Megan Carroll has done a great job of Morgan Carroll, excuse me, of getting out there and reaching into the trenches as well. I think you're right. I think that is the race to watch in Colorado this year. I think the U.S. Senate race, initially people thought that was going to be the one that was a toss-up, but now sixth congressional district is it.
And we've also been hearing about how the demographics of Colorado have been changing over the years as it's become a more purple and a more blue state. And a lot of that has to do with a big influx of Latinos.
Not only that, I mean, I think there are many families like mine, Latino families, that have been here for generations. And I think people forget that there is already a strong base of Latinos in southern Colorado particularly. And so I think that that, again, is sort of the wild card in this race because there's been a huge push this year to try and get out and get people registered and get people voting. And on so many different levels, there's been this push. And it's hard to even guess. We just did a news story this last week about Latino voters, especially the millennials, who aren't necessarily following what their parents do in terms of whether they vote Republican or vote Democrat. They are registering, but they tend to listen to what maybe their mother, the strong female in their family, is telling them. Their leanings, I guess I should say. So that's kind of who they listen to. So we'll see how it turns out.
I was speaking with somebody the other day in Denver who said he'd already returned his ballot and he had put a line through the presidential part because he didn't like either of the candidates, didn't want to vote there. But he was very interested in voting in a lot of the other things that were on the ballot, including a number of ballot initiatives. There's a Colorado Care ballot initiative, which would create universal health care in Colorado. There's a ballot initiative to raise the minimum wage to $12 an hour by 2020. There's a marijuana-related ballot initiative. Give us a sense of what it's looking like there, Megan, and what Coloradans may decide.
Well, we always have a very busy ballot in Colorado, in part because we have a fairly easy-to-amend state constitution, so a lot of people come in to try and move issues here. The minimum wage measure is getting a lot of attention and could conceivably actually draw out some Democratic-leaning voters who might not actually even otherwise bother with their ballots, which could help Hillary Clinton here. The marijuana measure, there are a lot of towns that have measures about recreational marijuana, to sell it, to not sell it. Denver's looking at creating pot clubs.
Right.
So it's marijuana has moved from a statewide issue to a local issue here. And then that Colorado Care measure, you know, the polling suggests that it is not going to pass, but it has started a massive conversation in the state about how to move forward on health care.
How do you expect the mail-in ballots to change the turnout this year?
Well, I think in a year where people are, you know, they're not liking either candidate very much, I think that we are hearing from a lot of people who say, we just want to get this over and done with. We want to mail it in, go drop it off. In this case, we can all go drop it off today if we wanted to. And I think that that has encouraged people to get this off their plate because they just don't want to deal with it anymore.
In fact, we're already hearing from the Secretary of State.
Yeah. So daily now, the Secretary of State is going to be putting out totals on how many people have turned in their ballots and how they break down by party. So right now we're seeing about 114,000 total back in from 3 million ballots sent out. Democrats are leading with 48,000 in. GOP has about 37,000 in, and unaffiliateds have about 27,000 in. I will say that is a change from past years where Democrats have really lagged in the ballot turn-in. I know both the Clinton campaign and the Democratic Senate campaign were kind of managing expectations with their voters. Hey, if you don't see us in the leading, don't worry about it. You guys all vote late. Not this year. They've stepped up their get out of the vote efforts.
Let me just ask both of you, biggest issue do you think for Colorado voters this year, Anne?
Oh, that's a great question, because I think there are so many issues that are really hitting home. We have an end-of-life bill that I think is really hitting home for a lot of people right now and really tearing families apart and trying to decide what to do about that. Minimum wage, I think, is huge for Colorado.
Megan?
I think that sort of what kind of America do we want to be question that everybody in the country is asking themselves is top of everyone's mind.
Too bad they don't put that on the ballot. What kind of America do we want to? I guess they sort of do. Megan Verlee of Colorado Public Radio and Andrew Heo, anchor at Denver 7 News. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.